I believe we were all copied on this email, but yes. After our wonderful eulogy to the late, great Wilford Brimley yesterday, we all got this email from a woman, a local woman, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her number's 214, so I'm assuming if she's not local, she was at one time.
She Waxahachie's own, I think.
Yes. Yeah. And she claimed to be the daughter of Wilford Brimley and said that if we wanted to talk to her on the radio, then she would be willing to do that.
Okay.
And we rarely have guests on Community Quick Hits, but
how I love this.
How timely is this? And how often do we get an opportunity to speak to the child of a great actor like Wilford Brimley? And I'm going to bring her on right now. Her name is Lindsay Browning. Lindsay, how are you, dear?
I'm good. How are y'all?
There she is.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
Well, Lindsay, first off, sorry for your loss.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's never easy to lose someone, but, you know, creating a new normal is what you do, and so that's what we're doing.
So, Lindsay, tell the story that you told to us via email, because you said if you guys, you know, ever wanted to talk to, you know, Wilford Brimley's daughter, I'll be there for you. And I think we were like, okay, are you yanking our chain here? So tell us the whole story about you and your stepdad.
Sure. So I actually arrived. My mom and Wilford, they lived in Utah. And so I arrived home yesterday, and I happened to get in my car, and I always listen to the ticket.
We love you.
And y'all were talking, thank you, and y'all were talking about the apartment in the sky. And you happened to mention Wilford, and I just, it was so sweet, you know, because he's diabetes, right? I mean,
right.
Everyone knows him by that. Yes. And it was just really sweet. So honestly, it started in the early 80s. I was born and raised in Waxahachie. I live in Trophy Club, Texas now, which isn't, oh yeah. Yeah.
Well then,
Cue Vivaldi.
Anyway, yeah, right. From Waxahachie to Trophy Club. Woo! Anyway, so my dad was a musician. He was actually a radio guy in Waxahachie, and he worked for KBC, and he called all the Waxahachie sports. But he was a professional musician, and he used to teach people to play guitar for movies because he could break it down. He was a master guitar player, but he could break it down to where if someone worked with him long enough, it really looked like they kind of sort of knew what they were doing. And so in the 80s, there was a movie that was filmed in Waxahachie called Tender Mercies.
Yes.
Wow.
And by the way, real quick, Tender Mercies, Robert Duvall, I believe, won Best Actor for his portrayal.
Yes, he did.
Did he not? Okay, yes.
He did. And funny story, my dad taught him to play guitar for that movie, and it was Ellen Barkin, and she played the daughter, and Wilford, and Betty Buckley. They were kind of the main characters. And Tess Harper.
Yes.
And so, yes, I had to remember. Anyway, they were filming in the fall, and Robert Duvall slept on our pull-out couch the entire filming. He and his wife, they slept on our pull-out couch in our living room. And Wilford lived with a friend of my family's, and they all lived with people. So for that whole fall and Thanksgiving, they had Thanksgiving with myself and at my dad's family's house.
Wow.
And how old are you at this time?
I'm maybe 6-7.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's a crazy story. Well, Wilford and my dad hit it off very, very well. And so for years, whenever he was filming, like for The Natural, he flew my mom and my dad out there, and my dad would entertain the
like play guitar and sing.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yes. And so he would go out there, and he would, wherever Wilford was, Wilford would ask him to come out and play and entertain. Well, years go by, and as a young girl, I would go up to Utah. They lived in Salt Lake City, and I would go up and spend time with his wife, Lynn. And they had three sons. Their youngest son is 10 years older than me. But I had a sister who was older, 4 years older than me, and we would always go out and we would spend time with them in Salt Lake City. Well, years passed, and his wife died from brain cancer in 2000. And my dad actually passed from an accident in 2006.
Oh, wow.
Well, my mom reached out to Wilford to let him know that my dad had passed. And my parents had been divorced for 5 or so years, but they were very, very dear friends. They always said we should have just been next door neighbors. They were just very dear friends. Even as a divorced family, we did every holiday together, every birthday. It was very, very friendly.
That's sweet.
And yeah, so Wilford asked her out on a date, and he said, "I'm going to be in Abilene in a couple of weeks. I would love for you to come out and meet me there, and you can be my date." My mom said, "Okay, Wilford, you know, because, you know, she didn't know how to take that."
Sure.
And she definitely was not looking to date necessarily or remarry. And she went out there, and they got together, and they were married within a year.
Wow.
And they've been married since then.
No kidding.
It was just a beautiful story of companionship, friendship, and love. And it was wonderful to me to have my mom knowing someone was taking care of her. And he loved her. He put her on the highest pedestal. And his three sons call her mom. They love her so much. And she's also from Waxahachie and was an educator there for years and came up to HEB for ULIS and worked there. But she just married him and ran off. And they went to Wyoming where he owned a ranch. He actually owned a ranch in New Mexico at that time. And then he really wanted to go out to Wyoming and he built a ranch out there. And then when he realized that his age was really kind of catching up to him and he knew that he really could not run a ranch anymore, they sold everything and they moved to Utah. And they live in a small town called Santa Clara, which is about 2 hours south of Las Vegas.
Wow. Okay, this is Lindsay Browning, and she is the stepdaughter of Wilford Brimley, who just passed away. And we've had this obsession with Wilford really over the last year or so, ever since Twitter, and I'm not sure if you're, you know, on Twitter or anything like that, ever since they launched the Brimley Cocoon line, which basically...
Yes, yes.
Okay, so and it seems like that Wilford, he loved this because he was active on this site as well. Okay, so what they did was when Wilford was, when the movie Cocoon was released, Wilford was about 50 years old and 6 months, even though he was supposed to be playing.
Somebody like in their mid-70s.
Yes, a 75-year-old. And so we all thought as kids that the guy was 75. And so what the Brimley Cocoon line did or does is they'll show other celebrities who reach that age of Wilford.
And then have an A, B next to each other photo of them.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow.
So did you think, as a little girl, did you think that Wilford was much older than he actually was?
Oh, I thought he was, like, on the brink of death. I'm like,
for 40 like, years, he was
Mom,
the same age.
How gently
like,
put.
Mom, like, he's going to die, like, tomorrow. Like, what are you doing? I mean, forever. And she said, no. You know, I don't know the exact, so please don't quote me, anyone listening. But I think, like, when he was in The Natural, like, Robert Redford was only, like, 18 months younger.
You're right.
Him.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so, but he's always had this, he's always looked old, like, his whole life.
I know
so
the feeling.
He was, yeah, I hear you. I'm feeling it, too. But, yeah, it's really funny. But, yeah, I thought he was older than my grandparents. When I was a little girl.
Yeah.
But he obviously wasn't. He maintained that look. And it really was because of a hard life. You know, he was an alcoholic. He started drinking as a young kid. And he literally, as of, I mean, 4 weeks ago, he was sponsoring people in AA. He had not had a drink in 46 years.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and he went to AA every single week, every week. And even when my parents lived in they lived in Wyoming, they would drive 2.5 hours every Wednesday to go to AA and drive 2.5 hours back.
Wow. I had no idea. And you know what? When you read any of the obits, whether it's the LA Times, the New York Times, they never mention that side of it ever. So was he really bad, like a horrible alcoholic back in his 20s and 30s?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. In fact, he was, I don't know if you know that he was, how he was discovered, but he was living in a box on Hollywood Boulevard, and Howard Hughes tripped over him. And Howard Hughes asked him, got him, picked him up and said, "You're a rough, gruff, tough guy, looks like a cowboy." And he was, he grew up on a farm. He was a master blacksmith. In fact, that's how he started in movies. He actually started horseshoeing on Westerns. They would call him into horseshoe, and then he started stunt. Robert Duvall got him into being a stuntman, and then it parlayed into, you know, a rather random career. But Howard Hughes literally stumbled upon him in a box on Hollywood Boulevard, picked him up, and said, "I want you to be my bodyguard," and he worked for him for 3 years.
Wow. No,
I had
that's,
no idea.
Now, I knew that. I saw where Michael Douglas got him his first big break in Network, but I didn't. I know I'd never heard that. Or, was it Network? No, it was the China Syndrome.
The China Syndrome, yes.
Yeah, the China Syndrome, yeah. That Douglas kind of gave him his first big break. I've never heard that Howard Hughes story. That's amazing.
In fact, he would tell me stories that, because Howard Hughes was such a recluse, that he would, when he really got to know Wilford, and Wilford really became clean and sober, he actually would ask him to go and meet actors and actresses for dinner, because Howard Hughes did not feel comfortable. So you know, it is odd. As odd and all the things that are said about Howard Hughes, you know, about him, Wilford never spoke a bad word about him. He said, "Without him, I would not be out of that box. He was an amazing inventor, and he treated me well for 3 years." But he actually, one of his favorite things, Howard Hughes called him and said, "I just cannot leave my hotel room. I need you to take Richard Bergman and Elizabeth Taylor to dinner."
Wow.
Okay.
And Wilford said, "Okay." So he took him to dinner, and he said that Elizabeth Taylor was not only the kindest and most amazing person, but he just could not stop looking at her. He had never seen anyone as enchanting as she was.
Yeah.
So he has a lot of crazy stories, you know, where he would step in for people. And he was really, you know, as such a gruff and curmudgeon as he was on the outside, he was a teddy bear. I mean, he could watch a track meet and cry. I mean, I'm telling you, this guy, he just had a heart of gold, and he was extremely, extremely generous, but he never wanted accolades. If someone mentioned, if they said, "We're going to say that you gave it," he said, "Then I won't give it."
No. Well, we're sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
Sounds like a heck of a guy, and what a story you have.
Well, I tell you what, he had the best sense of humor. You know, he always said, "If I can balance your blood sugar, I can balance your budget." and honestly, I mean, just to end, it's a really cool story that I had not known. But when he, and I'll end it here because I know that y'all are on time.
Oh, you're fine. We're always on time.
When he was in Cocoon, the scene where he's with his grandson.
Yeah.
Which is a famous scene. That scene was not in the film at all. And he really did not care for the director.
Ron Howard?
So that is correct. Yes. He referred to him as Opie. Not care for him.
Me too.
Yeah. So he just felt that Ron Howard, and I'm sure Ron Howard, as we all have aged and matured, but he really felt that he talked down to the very successful and famous actors within the film. So he went to Opie and he said, "There is no scene for the explanation of why Grandpa is leaving. And no grandpa would leave his grandson without telling him what's going on. Opie did not feel that that was important at all, but Wilford insisted. So Opie finally said, okay, fine. And he said, okay. What do you think we should be done? What do you think we should do? And Wilford said, just find a little lake, get a fishing pole, set up the sound equipment, bring the grandson, and we'll improvise. And the resulting scene was the best one
in
the film.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's insane.
That's a super, super crazy story, because that is like such a wonderful, poignant moment in that movie. And speaking of Opie, it's very Andy Griffith-esque.
Yes, it is. Isn't it funny how such an oxymoron? But it was completely unscripted and filmed in one take. And Wilford believed in one take. So another story, he went to this young director. They were doing something in 38 takes. Wilford said, I'll see you tomorrow, but you tell me when you decide what you want to do, and then I'll be there, and we're going to do it one time.
Damn.
That's great.
That's awesome, Lindsay. Thank you so much. And I mean, thank you for the stories.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for being a listener, and thank your husband for listening. I don't know who's listening, but we appreciate it.
Yes. Well, I think y'all, and please don't stop the jokes, because he had a hell of a sense of humor, and he would always laugh at himself. So please don't stop him.
Absolutely. Best to your mom, by the way.
Thank you very much. I appreciate y'all, and have a great day.
See ya. That's Lindsay.
Bye, Lindsay.
That's the...
what a darling, darling woman.
That's the stepdaughter of Wilford Brimley.
What are the odds?
That's unbelievable.
That's such P1 luck.
It happens sometimes.
That's great.